We all know the story of Adam and Eve. People say, well, why is it that God figured out that they had eaten of the tree when they told him that they were naked? And God says, how do you know you're naked? Who told you? And then he said, well, you must have eaten from the tree that I told you not to. The reason for that is before the sin, there was this pristine existence where nakedness wasn't a matter of embarrassment, but it's just the way of things were. But once sin came in, people became embarrassed, and they misused their sexual powers. It's gone on for all these years. The story of Adam and Eve is really the story of us all. Adam and Eve wanted more. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to be as wise and knew everything like God did. So they overreached and they fell. Sometimes you and I overreach and we sometimes fall too. We fail and so forth. We all fail. We work hard. We get sick. We die. A lot of different failures in our lives are disappointments. We aren't living that pristine world of Eden, the Garden of Eden. We're living in a world in which we have to work for our lives. And God told Adam, you have to work for your life. You have to work the toil for the harvest. And so you and I are beneficiaries of that, not because we choose to be, but because we are born into the human condition. We are born into humanity. And so we live with those limitations. And Jesus in the gospel talks about the devil. Of course, the devil, the serpent in Eden and so forth. For a lot of people, people aren't sure. Does the devil really exist? I mean, does that really happen? Or is it just kind of a personification of evil? Well, there's a writer that once said, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled is convincing the world that he doesn't exist. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. Because if you don't believe the devil exists, then you're going to be sideswiped by him instead of knowing that the devil's out there. The point is, we do live in a world in which there is evil and there is problems, there are struggles, we all have them, and we're never satisfied. We can be tempted. The devil tempts us with pride, vanity, desire for power, more things, riches, esteem, so forth. We're tempted by those all the time. Most of the time, I'm sure that we rise above it. We don't give in, but we do give in sometimes. We all do. And so the hope for us then is in that second reading today where Paul talks about Jesus coming to earth and taking the place, so to speak, of Adam and Eve and bringing us back to hope again. That all that we experience in the world does not end here, but God will raise us all up beyond what's here in the end, in eternal life. So hope still remains despite the things that go on in our world. And if we don't have hope, if we don't have hope that people are good and that people can do good things, and that in the end God will be victorious, we don't have anything. I'm thinking of those two suicides lately, of those people. I wonder where their hope was. Did they have hope? Did they believe? Were they believers? What caused them to commit suicide? They didn't have hope, obviously. When you don't have hope, you commit suicide. And maybe that was the problem for them. They were very highly regarded. They had a lot of esteem from people. They had so much possessions. They had everything, but they didn't have hope. And so look what happens, at least in their cases. So that's just a good sign to us, a good reminder that we live as Christians with the gift of hope that we've received from God. And we want to nourish that all our lives and pray for it, and ask for it, and be open to it, so that no matter what happens, what we do, what we don't do in life won't tear us down.